as has been announced. The title of the pastor's message tonight, delivered here in the First Baptist Church of Dallas, is Lot, the Mayor of Sodom. And we are following through a large section in the center of the book of Genesis. So, in so brief a time, I can but point to the passages. First, we're going to be introduced to Abraham and to Lot. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, and in Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. Abraham, as you know, is God's friend. He is referred to three different times in the Bible as the friend of God. He's the father of the faithful. The three great living religions look back to him as their patriarchal father, Judaism and Islam and Christianity. Abraham had a brother named Haran. Haran died in the land of Mesopotamia. And Haran's son, Lot, was sort of adopted, taken under his wing by Abraham. And when Abraham left Mesopotamia, when he left Ur to go to Haran, and when he left Haran to come into Canaan, he carried with him his nephew, Lot. Now, the difference in those two men is the difference between day and night, between the east and the west. Abraham's life was one of complete trust in God. He lived a life of faith. For example, God promised him the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, but he never owned an inch of that country. The only exception was he bought from the sons of Heth Machpelah, the cave of Machpelah, in which he and Sarah and other members of the family were buried. And if you've ever been to Hebron, you have looked down into that cave and have seen the sarcophagi of Abraham and Sarah. That's the only part of the land of Canaan that he ever owned in his earthly pilgrimage. Yet God promised it to him for an everlasting possession, and he trusted in God for it. I think someday that great promise of the Lord will be fulfilled in the millennium. He was a man of faith, I say. He was 99 years old, and his wife Sarah was 89 years old. Yet God had promised that he would have a son, and Sarah would have a son, a child of their blood and bone, born out of their companionship. And he's 99, and she's 89, and no son has been born. When he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, God fulfilled that promise. One other typical example of the complete trust of Abraham in God. When that lad was a teenager, when Isaac, the child of promise, was a teenager, God sent him to a mount called Moriah, and there God directed Abraham to lift up his knife and to plunge it into the heart of that promised son. And Abraham obeyed the Lord, built an altar on top of Mount Moriah, bound his son and laid him, as a sacrifice upon the stones. Remember what the Bible says? Accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. What a man of faith and trust, Abraham. Lot was a diametrical opposite. He was a man of the world. All the businessmen of all the cities of America would admire Lot. He was capable. He was able to see an advantage in the world. Now, he was a righteous man. In the passage you just read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he is described in the Bible as a righteous man. He was not crooked. He was a good man, but he was willing to compromise his spiritual life for worldly advancement and worldly gain. He is a representative man. There's no Bible character that represents so many men as does Lot. As I have said, you'll have one Abraham and maybe one Joshua and one Daniel, but you will have 1,000 Lots. They're everywhere. A man of the world. So we're going to look at Lot and the choice that he made. This will be found in Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 to 13. It began in Genesis 13, 7 with strife between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham. And in Genesis 13, verses 8 and 9, unselfish Abraham says to his nephew, "You choose in any direction that you please, and I will take what is left." In Genesis 13, verses 10 and 11, he chooses, Lot chooses, the beautiful, well-watered plain and the cities of the valley. The world would say Lot is a shrewd businessman. He knows a bargain when he sees it, and he takes advantage of it. Lot did not say to Abraham, "God has blessed me through you. You choose. You choose, Abraham, and I'll take what is left." Nor did Lot say to his uncle Abraham, "We'll share it alike. We'll divide the land between us." What he did say was, "I will take all of the fertile, well-watered plain. I'll take the cities of the valley, and you can have the desert wilderness and the rocky mountains." And Abraham was kind and generous to his nephew and said, "You take the well-watered plain, and you take the cities of the valley, and I'll take the Rocky Mountains and the desert witness." So, we have the division of the two. Abraham is up there on the mountains. And verse 12 of chapter 13, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and dwelt in the cities of the plain. And in chapter 19 and verse 1, he prospered in Sodom. When you went into the city, you would have met him first out of all the citizens of that flourishing metropolis. No man ever got on so well as did Lot in Sodom. He was the mayor of the city, he said in the gate. He was Judge Lot. Mrs. Lot was a fashionable leader in the social circles of Sodom. And the Mrs. Lot, his children, married well. They married Sodomites, and they prospered in the metropolis. In verse 4 of chapter 13, it says, Abraham built an altar. First thing he did there, up in the mountains, in the desert. Abraham builds an altar. You can read Genesis all the rest of your life, and you will never find that Lot built an altar in Sodom. He was a righteous man. He was a shrewd businessman. He was a worldly man. He built no altar in Sodom. We're now going to look at the dividends of his worldly choice. What happens when the man builds his life in the world, possessed by the ambitions and the answering to the calls of the world? Well, in Genesis chapter 14, verses 5, 10, 11, and 12, he is captured in battle. Sodom is taken. And in that fall of the city of Sodom in the war, Lot is captured. His whole family and everything that he owns is taken away. That means in that day, he was taken into slavery, and all of his family. He would have been sold as a slave, and all of his family would have been in servitude had it not been that he was delivered by the hand of his uncle Abraham. Now, when that happens, when Lot is delivered by Abraham from slavery, what does he do? Does he refuse to turn to Sodom and say to Abraham, I'm going to share God's life with you? No. The first thing this shrewd businessman Lot does is he turns his heart and his life with his family and goes back into Sodom. The world had a hold of his heart and had a hold of his life, and he couldn't disassociate himself from it. Now we're going to look at a second thing that happens to Lot, prosperous Lot, in the city of Sodom. The story is the entire chapter of Genesis number 18. The angels come by, and they announce to Abraham the judgment of God upon Sodom. Now, Abraham remembers, Abraham knows that in that town and in that city, there is Lot and his family. So the Lord prays before God. When the angels leave to go on their way to visit the judgment of the Lord upon Sodom, Abraham stays before the Lord, and he prays before the Lord. And this is what he prays. Now you watch it. Oh God, if Lot, who's been in Sodom now 20 years, Lord, if there are 50 converts in Sodom, fruit of the testimony and witness of this righteous man, Lot, worldly but righteous. Lord, if there are 50 converts in Sodom, will you spare the city for 50? And God says yes. If Lot has won 50 converts in Sodom in 20 years, I'll spare the city for the sake of those 50 converts. And Abraham, standing yet before the Lord, says, Lord, what if we lack 5 of them? If Lot has won 45 converts to the Lord in 20 years, we spare the city for the sake of 45. And God says, I'll spare it. If Lot has won 45 converts in the city, I'll spare the city for the sake of the 45. And Abraham says, Lord, don't be full of disappointment in me as I cling to thee and stay before thee. Lord, what if there are 40 converts in 20 years? Would you spare it for 40? And God says, I'll spare it for 40. And Abraham says, Lord, if there are 30 converts that Lot has won in 20 years, would you spare it for the sake of 30? And God says, I'll spare it for 30. And Abraham says, oh, Lord, don't be disgusted, overly disappointed in me. But if there are 20, Lord, would you spare the city if there are 20 converts of Lot? That'd be one a year for 20 years. God says, I'll spare it if there are 20. And Abraham says, Lord, just once more. If in 20 years Lot has won 10 converts, Lord, would you spare the city for those 10? And God says, Abraham, for the sake of the 10 that Lot has won in 20 years, I'll spare the city for the sake of 10. Now, I want you to look at that for a moment. Lot's children married Sodomites. And wouldn't you think that in his own family, he would have had at least 10 to come to the Lord? But what did we say? In Sodom, Lot built no altar. In Sodom, Lot had no witness. In Sodom, Lot never made one convert. No one would listen to him. No one seemed to care, even his sons-in-law. They just laughed and mocked at this righteous man. Lost his witness in Sodom. Sweet people, I have turned over in my mind whether such a thing as I did one time here in the city, whether I ought to speak of it or not, or whether I even should have done it or not, I don't know. But I thought I would go ahead and speak of it. It's not a bad thing that I'm going to describe. It's just worldly. Just worldliness. There was a dear woman in the church. A dear woman. Godly woman. Dear woman in the church. And her husband was lost. And she would just come to me and ask me to pray for her husband, and to pray for her husband, and I did. Oh God, help us to reach this man for Christ. So upon a day, I made an appointment to go to the home to speak to the husband about Jesus, to pray with him, to read God's holy word with him, and to present the claims of Christ on his life, that he be a Christian. I went to the home, stood at the door, and raised my hand to knock on the door. There was a large oval glass, a pane of glass, in the door. And when I raised my hand to knock on the door, I looked through the pane of glass into the living room. On one side of the living room, he sat, this lost man sat, reading a newspaper. And on the other side of the room, there she sat in a chair, smoking. The room was filled with smoke. Sweet people, I have no idea, right or wrong, but there was something that when I raised my hand to knock on the door and look through that glass, and she was there across from her husband, smoking a cigarette, filling the room with smoke. I lowered my hand. I turned around and walked down the steps and out the yard. I don't know what to say. And I can be vastly wrong in the reaction of my heart toward worldliness on the part of God's people. It just seems to me that if someone loves Jesus and is committed to Christ and has the burden of the lost on the heart and the soul, it just seems to me that we ought to be different from the world, ought to be separated from the world. Well, that was Lot. His daughters married Sodomites. And God said, if you've just got 10 converts in 20 years, your sons-in-law and your daughters-in-law, in your family, just 10, I'll spare the city for the sake of 10. And Lot, in 20 years, had never won a soul to the Lord Jesus. Not in 20 years. All right, another thing, we're looking at the dividends of the worldly life. In Genesis 19, verses 16, 17, and 26, Lot is taken bodily, physically, coercively by those angels and is forced out of the city. And he lingers. That's explicable, isn't it? Understandable, isn't it? Everything he had was in Sodom. His children are there. His grandchildren are there. His home is there. His house is there. His family is there. His property is there. His heart is there. Everything he has is in Sodom. And when those angels force him out, flee for your life, he lingers and lingers and lingers. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of the day of our death when everything that we have is in this world. I can understand why a worldly man or a worldly woman would look upon death as a horrible visitation. They don't have anything in heaven. There's no riches toward God. There's no mansion beyond those pearly gates. There's not anything but loss and darkness. Everything they have is in this world. Just like Lot, everything he possessed was in Sodom. And when the angels had to force him out, Lot lingered and lingered. Everything he had was in Sodom. Let me tell you something that happened to a friend of mine, a neophyte, because we were in school together. And he was called to a church in South Carolina, where Brother Ed Foo comes from. in a mill town in South Carolina. And as you know, if you've ever been over there, the man that owns the mill owns the whole creation. There's not anything there but the mill, and everybody works in the mill. And the man that owns the mill owns the town and owns everything in it. Well, this young neophyte, this friend of mine, this young preacher, called to be pastor of that church. Well, he was up there just preaching away. Oh, he's telling it as it is. And he was a-saying, we don't own anything. There's not anything that is ours. Not anything. We may use it for a while, but we don't own anything. And after the service was over, while the owner of the mill said, young fella, I want you to meet me at such and such place at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And the young preacher said, excellent. So he met the owner of the mill, the owner of the town, the owner of everything, met him at 2 o'clock. And the owner, the mill man, took him to that big mill and said, you see this mill? I own it! And yet you preach there in the pulpit that I don't own anything. Then he took him to these apartment houses. Then he took him to these cottages. Then he took him to the farms. All of this I own, and yet you say I don't own anything. And after they spent time going around looking at those things, why, the mill owner says, now I want to meet you one other time. At this same hour, next Sunday at 2 o'clock, I want you to meet me. And the young fellow replied, he said, sir, I'll be glad to meet you in this same place, at this same hour, Sunday at 2 o'clock, only 100 years from now. We don't own anything. Absolutely nothing. Even the body that I have is given me and lent me and loaned me from the Lord and goes back to the dust of the ground. Own nothing. Like Job said in my sermon Sunday, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Oh God, how I need to remember that. All that I have is just to be used for His glory, for His purpose, for His advancement of His kingdom, for the saving of the lost. That's why Lot lingered. We must close. One other thing. In Genesis 19, verses 35 to 38, is one of the most sordid stories of incest to be found in the Word of God. The reason for the telling of the story is because of the horrible progeny of Lot. The elder daughter, as you know, when the angels took Lot out of Sodom, his wife looked back and was destroyed, and the two girls were saved with him. And the elder daughter got her father drunk and lay with him, as the Bible would say. And out of that incestuous relationship with his own daughter, Moab was born. Then when the elder daughter saw that she had succeeded in thus seducing her father and becoming pregnant by her own father, why, she persuaded her younger daughter to get her father drunk just like that. And the younger daughter lay with her father all night long. And she became pregnant and became the mother of Ammon. And the Bible says that that is where the Moabites and the Ammonites came from. And they were destined to become the worst enemies of God, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Dear people, worldliness is a curse from God's heaven. Worldliness. And the Bible teaches us of anything else it could possibly teach us, we're to separate ourselves from the world. All of its blandishments, all of its allurements, all of its cheap, evanescent, vanishing, temporary, transient rewards, we're to separate ourselves from it. We're to be a people of God, a sanctified family of the Lord. And I can tell you this on the basis of the Word of God Himself. If you will separate yourself from the world and will give yourself to God, God will repay you 1,000-fold, just as He did Abraham. Abraham loved the Lord, served the Lord, blessed the name of the Lord. He's our patriarchal father. Lot lost everything in the lost world. Lord, grant to us a faith and a commitment that we'll believe if I give myself and all that I am to the service of Christ, He will reward me 1,000-fold, both in this world and in the world to come. Now we're going to sing us a song of appeal. And while we sing it, somebody you to give your heart and life and trust to the Lord Jesus, welcome. A family you to come into the fellowship of our dear church, welcome. A somebody you to give your life in answer to God's call, welcome. A fellow pilgrim with us who've served Jesus with all of the strength of our hearts and lives, welcome. As the Spirit shall press the appeal upon your heart, while we sing this song, answer with your life, do it now. Angels, attend as you come, while we stand and while we sing.